How are we doing this morning? That's good. I like to hear that. I put my water down here. That way I can never reach it to use it. That's all right. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Pastor asked me several weeks ago, in fact, it's been probably more like a month or so, if I would be willing to speak. And of course, I love to preach. That's what I've done all my life, basically, since I was about 15 years of age. I enjoy it. Now, for those of you that attend on Wednesday nights, I've got to make a little bit of an adjustment. I told you I was going to be speaking from 1 Samuel chapter 30. And so we're changing things. My wife, the kids are dismissed. Did they get dismissed, Brother Eric? Okay. That's so good. We got good kids, don't we? Anyway, I told the Wednesday night group that I was going to preach from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I have changed my mind. My wife, she prophesied that. I don't know how many of you heard that on Wednesday night. She says, he'll probably change his mind. And she's right. I think my wife does have the gift of prophecy. She often tells me what I'm going to do, and it almost always happens. She's got that gift. So I think a lot of wives have that gift, don't they? Let me find my place here myself. Well, I want us to look at Psalms 37. It's actually one of my favorite psalms. I asked the group on Wednesday one night if what their favorite psalm was, and my wife and I mentioned this probably close to each other, as this is sort of one of our favorite psalms. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that's considered an acrostic. In other words, when David was writing this, and you have to think how he had to think things through, but every third verse, I think it is, or every second verse, starts with a preceding letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And he was writing it in his old age. But let's look at verse 23. Actually, let me show you, though. He was writing it in his old age. Verse 25 says, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So he was older. Now, if I understand the Hebrew correctly, and I usually don't, I think we can translate that, verse 25, Brother Major, I have been young, and now I'm 50. Don't you think that's correct? He does not. Anyway, we do not know how old David was when he wrote this. He was dealing with a very difficult subject. If you look at verse 1, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And what he's stating there is we shouldn't be upset or envious towards the wicked that prosper. And that's been an issue for all of history, is basically this idea is why do the wicked prosper? And so often the righteous, they suffer or do with or have lack, you might say. And what David is choosing to do here is to share with those that are reading this how that, yes, the wicked, they may prosper. If you look at verse 12, it says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. And they do seem to prosper. But when you get down near the end of the chapter, he makes it clear. Verse 35, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away, and lo, he was not, yet I sought him, but he could not be found. In other words, yes, wicked may prosper, and they may prosper all their life. But life is more than just this life. And that's the issue. And David was dealing with that. But he wanted to encourage his listeners to realize that God's in control of our life. Sometimes we may not see that, we may not understand that, but God is in control of our life. Look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, those are two amazing verses, and what I'd like to do is just sort of break them up, investigate them a little bit, dissect these two passages a little bit, because I want you to walk away. I have a goal for you. I want you to walk away this morning with an awe of God's great power in your life. God is a powerful God, and He's involved in your life. By the way, Brother Craig, it's so good to see you, my brother. Amen. Yes, I think that's right. Let's give him a round of applause. God's good. We've missed you. I've had to teach your Sunday school class. I've really missed you, brother. Yes. Forgive that. I just noticed Craig out there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The first thing I want you to notice from this passage is that God's power to determine a good man's steps. Notice God's power to determine a good man's steps. Notice the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's a great statement. That's a wonderful statement. That's an awesome statement. The word order in our Bible appears some 219 times, and it means to establish. In fact, a lot of the modern translations do use the word establish. It means to fix it or prepare it, and God's always preparing your steps. We don't think that way sometimes. We have this sort of thinking or mindset that we're sort of the master of our faith and the captain of our souls. That's from a famous poem that's nauseating almost. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 10, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Wow. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh and direct his steps. You know, God's always working in your life. I was talking to Brother Dave the other day. It was Wednesday right after the service, and he was so excited because God is at work in certain members of his family, and that's an exciting time for all of us when we see that. And he says, God's at work, and I thought, you know, that's so true. But folks, God is always at work in your life, in my life. He's never not at work. Even right this moment, he's working in your life. He's working in my life. I have an extreme illustration of that. It was in the Associated Press back in 2004. I have all these notes that I've saved over the years. It tells about a lady, her name was Mary. Mary, her last name is, Hume. Mary Hume. She was sitting in her living room watching her favorite TV program. Now, we don't know what program it was, but it was likely Hogan's Heroes. And she was sitting there watching her favorite TV program. The phone rings. Get this, the phone rings. Now, she didn't have a cell phone like we have. She had to get up. And remember, for us old timers, there's the phone that would hang on the wall. She had a landline. She walked over, went through her kitchen side, picked up the phone, and she said, hello? Hello? There was no answer. She tried one more time. Hello, anyone there? And about that time, she heard all this crashing and glass, and she walked back into near the living room, and she saw the wall of her living room wall falling down on top of her chair. Some guy missed the turn, ran through it with his pickup truck, and realized that what he was doing, he backed out real quick and headed off someplace. She went back to the phone and called 911. They finally catched the guy. She was later asked about this. Let me just read your a quote from her, from this article. She says, the phone ringing at that particular time, that's one of those things that people would never believe. Maybe it was God calling to tell me to get out of my living room. You know, I think she's right. God was calling, telling her to get out of the living room. I mean, really, seriously, God works in our life. And he has the power to move us where he wants us, and he is always moving us. Our passage says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know what that does for me? I wake up in the morning, and if I'm busy, and if I happen to think about this, and I don't always, but if I think about it, things are going a little rough, I can remind myself, wait a minute, God's there. He's in control. He's doing things. He's moving my steps. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't change something if you can change something, but that, again, he's moving your steps. You know, there are two passages of Scripture that I want to mention to you at this point and share with you why his steps are so important in your life. First of all, his steps are always right. There's a passage that'll come up on the screen behind me, and it says, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the way of the Lord is right. Look at that. The way of the Lord is right. And this last phrase is amazing. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. That's just the way it works. The righteous love to walk in the way that God is leading them. The wicked or the transgressor, he stumbles at it. He rebels against it. He doesn't want it. Second thing I want you to see, another passage of Scripture, is the Lord's way is perfect. It says in Psalms 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. His way is perfect. God's directing your step. You can bank on the fact that as he directs your step, he's guiding you. He's helping you. He's going to help you become exactly the kind of person he wants you to be. But you got to walk in his way. You can rebel. You can rebel. But God's continually trying to work in your life. Now that brings me to my second thought, because it relates to this idea that we can fall. God has the prerogative, number two, the prerogative to direct a good man's steps. Look at verse 24, though he fall. That's quite a statement when you ponder that. Here he is, he's saying, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And by the way, the Lord, delights in his way. He loves to watch us walk in his way. But then he says, though he fall. Now, the first one emphasizes the almighty, powerful sovereignty of God. The second statement involves the free will of man. And I think you need to understand something, and a lot of people don't, it seems like. You don't have to be in either or camp here. The truth is that my free will never trump God's perfect will. My free will never overcome God's sovereign will. It just doesn't work that way. God is a God who is perfectly in control. He's a God that understands, and sometimes when we rebel against this, we fall. And why does that happen? Well, I began to thinking about this idea that God has the prerogative to direct your steps. Sometimes he does direct our paths in ways that are a little uncomfortable. In fact, sometimes he directs our paths in the ways that are very uncomfortable. And some people suffer great physical hurt, others not so much. Some people, it always marvels me, some people have an abundance of wealth, and some other people not so much so. And we can throw it up however we want, that a lot of that's their own personal choice and what have you. But the bottom line is God is direct. If you're a child of God, God's directing your steps. And we need to learn to rejoice in that. By the way, just because you have great physical health today doesn't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. I saw in the news this past week, I know nothing about this person, but she was only 37. Her name was Haley McNeff, I think, 37, and she dies. And she was a physical trainer, a weight trainer. See, health isn't guaranteed for tomorrow. But the truth is that as a child of God, we're walking our life, following our journey, and God is guiding our path. And we should rejoice in that. And I think that's sort of what David's trying to get across in this whole psalm. Yes, the wicked and the ungodly prosper. They don't go with hunger. They have all these things given to them. And yet you just have this meager life. But remember, God is the one that's directing your steps. And so learn to rejoice in that point. Not easy to do, is it? I thought of the Apostle Paul. Let's turn there in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul was an amazing person. You know, Paul was a godly man. He's one of those individuals that we're supposed to sort of pattern our life after. In fact, he said that, follow me as I follow Christ. That doesn't mean you follow him if he's not following Christ. But to the extent that Paul followed Christ, we're to follow him. He was a godly man, a great man. But watch what's going on in his life. We'll begin in verse 23, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I'll give you a second to find it. He says this, are there ministries in Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's just almost hard to comprehend that he even lived through that. Thrice I was beaten with a rod. Jews used a whip, Romans used a club. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of the water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in the perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, this is verse 27, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these things, there are that are without, that which cometh upon me daily is the cares of the churches. Now, look at Paul's journey. Those didn't all happen in one day, by the way. It was his life. It was plagued with all kinds of persecution and difficulty. But look at verse 31. He says, the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. Look how he responds. He says, and how can he respond like that? How can he say, God the Father, who's blessed forever, how can he respond like that? Because he knew that the steps of a good man were ordered by the Lord. He's there. He's with us. I mean, God's so good. Let's turn back to Psalms 37. I should have had you hold your place there. I'll give you a second to find that if you need to. Because I like this next statement. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be utterly cast down. You know, we will fall, and we will fail, and we will do things that displease God. But I'll tell you, the bottom line is that we're never going to be left to the point where we cannot get back up. We can get back up. We can stand back on our feet, dust ourselves off, and move forward. If you've found yourself fallen and you don't know quite what to do, well, let me tell you, go back to the God that you fell from. Ask him to forgive you. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving. Don't live in the past. If God said he'll forgive your sins, he will forgive your sins. If God says he'll help you stand for his glory, he will help you stand for his glory. Just dust yourself off and keep going. I've watched Christians for 40 years that fall into something or end up sinning or they're disappointed with their life and they quit on God. That's not the answer, folks. God wants to move your steps forward from that point on. But that brings me to the third thought, and that is God's personal devotion to a good man and his steps, or a good man's steps. Look what he says. In the latter part of verse 24, it says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's an awesome promise. God's going to uphold you with his hand. He's there to keep you up, pick you up. I mean, I thought of several things. One is that God will never let you go concerning your salvation. Can I say this? Your salvation is eternal. If you're truly born again, you're truly born again. And you're truly born again forever, and you're not going to lose that. Now, some of us have been to the woodshed more than once because we didn't do things the way God wanted us to. But the bottom line is that I didn't lose my salvation. In fact, God was more involved at that moment than sometimes I feel like he is, but he's always involved in our life. So you've got to be careful with a statement like that. But God does care about you. You cannot lose that salvation that's yours. That passage in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. That's great. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a glorious truth. You're secure in Jesus Christ. Hold on to that. And yes, if you've fallen, go to God, ask his forgiveness, or ask him to help you to be strong enough to live beyond that and go on with your life. He sees you. He's upholding you with his hand. God's never going to let you go concerning your sanctification. God's always working in your life. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's not through with you. He's not through with me. He's, you know, and I don't believe he's through with me when I die. He's going to take me up to heaven and I'm going to glorify him for all of eternity. I mean, he's not through with us. He saved us for all of eternity. I mean, he's ordering our steps. Sometimes those steps go through darkness. David understood that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, sometimes our life takes us through the times of great sunshine. We should rejoice in that. Acknowledge God's the one that's done that for you. What's sad is sometimes when we're going through the good times, we forget who gave us the good times. But God's always there. He's always working. We can count on him. God's in control. Now, let me close this out. What time is it? Are we going to miss dinner? No. Good night. I need to preach another sermon besides this one. Give you a double dose. Brother Major, I don't know what to tell you. Let's take something away. We'll go home after this. Hey, we're gonna beat the Methodists. We're going to beat the Methodists to the restaurant, aren't we? Yeah. Let me give you four key questions, and these are important because this is something that does concern me. I've often said to my wife, Christians are the most whining, crybaby people on earth. Do you believe God is good? Question number one. Do you believe God is good to his children? Amen. That's good. Do you believe that God, let me get this right. Do you believe that this good God orders our steps? Amen. That's what the verse says. Do you believe that this good God who orders our steps upholds us with his hand? Amen. Amen. Here's the tough question. Why do we complain so much? Why do we find fault with so many things? Why do we so often get angry about our circumstances when we have a God who orders our steps, takes care of us, and guides us? It's not always the way we want it. I'm sure that for Paul, being beaten with a whip was not enjoyable. But he always came back to the fact that God was the God who ordered his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There's a song that's written. I won't quote all of it, just a few lines of it. Dottie Rambo. She was an amazing person. She was actually killed in a bus accident back in 2000, I think, 4, I believe. Dottie Rambo wrote over 2,500 songs. That's a lot of songs. But one of my favorites that she wrote The words go like this: I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must trod. That's so true. God's hand is always kind. It's always tender, and He is leading us in the paths that we must trod. I have no fear because Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Your steps, my steps, are ordered by the Lord. If you could walk away with something, why not walk away and say, Lord, help me to never forget that you're the God that's ordering my steps, and help me to rejoice and give praise to you in a regular basis or on a regular basis. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your grace. And we're about to sing a song that I think is so important in each of our lives, that we welcome the Holy Spirit to take control of our life. We do pray, Father, that you will just help each of us to grab something. I understand when I preach that no one's going to grab it all, but maybe, Lord, they'll walk away with something that helps them understand just how marvelous, how glorious you are, and how much you truly care about each of us. So I pray now that you'll bless as we sing for the next few moments. Maybe some feel like they need to come and take a burden to you, and maybe they're struggling with some thoughts or ideas or some events happening in their life, and they just need to rest with you and say, Lord, I know your steps are perfect. Help me. Help me to accept that. There might be other issues, but Lord, I pray as we sing that we might rejoice in you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, thank you so much.